that you satisfy us. We give you praise and honor and glory this morning. Teach us with your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
All righty, everybody say amen. 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 We're continuing our series this morning called Miracle Worker, just looking at the miracles of Jesus. And, you know, I've said last week, I asked you a question, how many of you still believe that God does miracles? And, of course, I think we all kind of raised our hands for that. And I said, how many of you need a miracle? And everybody raised their hands. Some people raised two hands, right? And then I said, you know, if you look in the mirror, you'll see a miracle, that you are one. You are a miracle of God. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you look miraculous. You look miraculous. That's right. Howard Einstein said it this way. There's only two ways, really, to live your life. One is if nothing is a miracle, and the other is as if everything is a miracle. And my prayer really for this series, and I've been praying for you, is that there would be a rising tide in us as a spiritual family, that there would be a growing holy appreciation, if you will, for the miracles that are all around us all the time. But I'm also believing for a kind of holy anticipation of what God might do next. I think that a lot of us, if we aren't careful, we stop dreaming, right? We stop praying, we stop believing. And what happens is we forfeit the miracles that God wants to do in our lives. And so I so want us to get that back. And really what I'm saying is I'm, and I want you to do this as well, to live in anticipation right now. I think we need to live with a holy anticipation that God could invade the reality of our lives at any moment and change everything. For He is a God of miracles. This morning we're going to be looking at the miracle of the calming of the storm. And so if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 4. Let me ask you this. Do you ever feel like you're just in the middle of the storms of life? That you're just in the middle of a storm. That all around you, the winds of circumstance are blowing and they're completely out of control. Anybody ever feel that way? Well, this morning, what we're going to try to do is discover what God says to us when life is in the middle of a storm. And we're going to look at the story of Jesus calming the storm in Mark chapter 4. So let's just kind of jump in there and get started this morning. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 says this. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took along just as he was. In the boat. There was also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up. You know that, you know, I love that southern, you know, lingo there in God's word. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." I grew up as a kid in the, you know, I was born in 1960, so I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and I really believe that we had the best toys. The best toys were invented in the 60s and the 70s, and let me just give you a few, and you'll agree with me. The Etch-A-Sketch was, I started to bring my Etch-A-Sketch in here, but I forgot this one. The Etch-A-Sketch was invented. Yeah, come on now, that's the best invention in the world. No batteries needed for that sucker. right? Just shake that thing up, start over. Can't ever mess up, right? Etch a sketch. And then this one of my favorite, you know, the Nerf ball was created. Come on, you guys, you wouldn't have had all those Nerf guns if it wasn't for the Nerf ball, you know, being created originally. And then, of course, G.I. Joe was created in those years there. I got a whole box of G.I. Joes and I'm passing on to my kids. They don't want them. I mean, I got like the G.I. Joe box. They were awesome. And then, of course, Hot Wheels. How many of you loved Hot Wheels that are old as me and you loved Hot Wheels? Yeah, I got like a box and I gave that away. And they want those. They want those, right? But sometimes when I was playing, my mom did a lot of sewing, and she had one of these on her, a little sewing machine, I guess, so she could see what to do the needle. I don't know. But I would grab it, and I would go play. And you can do a lot of things with this right here, you know? I mean, you can be a detective, right? You can pretend you're a detective and search out clues, right? You can actually... You know, get the sun to come in the right direction. You know what I'm saying? You can, if you need to survive out there, you know, while you're playing, you can start a fire. And even better than that, you know where I'm going with this? You can get that sun just right, and you can. And this was before I was saved. Probably before you were saved too. You can burn insects. All right, don't hold that against me. It's a little boy growing up in Mulberry. But I love this, you know. You can create so many things, and there's a lot of things you can do with a magnifying glass. But it's actually very simple, right? It bends light. It stretches light, and it allows images to get bigger. A magnifying glass is a device that when you focus it on something, whatever it is you're focusing on, good or bad, right or wrong, whatever it is that's is focused on, it's going to get bigger, right? It's going to get bigger. And so I say it like this, whatever we magnify, we amplify. Whatever we magnify, we amplify. So when we magnify something, we automatically make it bigger. And because it's getting bigger, everything else around it looks smaller. And in Mark chapter 4, I shared this with the men almost a year ago, but in Mark chapter 4, what instantly gets magnified in that story? If you put a magnifying glass on, what instantly gets magnified in that story in Mark chapter 4? The storm, yeah, it's the storm. You know, it obviously gets magnified, right? And it's huge. It's a squall, right? Whatever that is. Mark chapter 4 says it's a furious squall. And, you know, there's so many different kinds of storms, right? We know about storms here in Florida, right? We got hurricanes, we got tornadoes. My kids live in Birmingham now. That's like Tornado Alley. So I am, starting to get an expert on storms. I know all about vortexes and hook echoes and cones and all those kind of things. And all I know is the bottom line is a storm is always a powerful element. And honestly, when you're in one, it can be very terrifying. So I was thinking about the storms of life and how our lives are sometimes full of storms. And you've heard this quote. It says this: if in life you're either heading into a storm, going through a storm, or coming out of a storm. How many believe that's true, right? I mean, we've experienced that, especially since 2020, all three of those, you know, at once, right? Coming at us. Life is full of storms. Storms on the outside. And honestly, usually some of the worst are the ones that are going on the inside. Life is full of storms, personal storms, storms in your marriage, you know, financial storms, health storms. There are just so many storms, you know, big ones like that. And then there's just everyday storms like we're in right now, you know, in this culture in which we live in with all the stuff that's going on with mental health and the direction of our kids and our future. I mean, there's just storms all around us. Life is full of storms, and they come in all shapes and all sizes. And Jesus tells us in John 16:33, he says, listen, in this world, you will have trouble. There will be storms. In this world, we're going to have trouble. But in this world, we also have a choice Because we can magnify and we can amplify the storm. But I got some good news. If you take that magnifying glass and you just kind of move it over a few words, yeah, there's a great storm. But you know what's even bigger than the storm? I mean, there's a great storm in that story, but there's also a great Savior. There's also a great Savior. There's a God who steps into that situation that looks hopeless, that looks like there's no way through. A God who steps into that situation and stops and steps into a storm and brings the calm. Whatever we magnify, we amplify. And in our lives, we can magnify the storms that we are facing. I mean, come on, we are in a world where we're going to have trouble. Or by faith, we can choose to magnify and amplify the Savior. The Savior who has promised to meet us in every storm and bring us to the other side. And I really believe that every storm that anybody in this room is going through, that there's going to be a testimony in that storm of a great Savior. And honestly, this is something that's so important because, our world is full of these storms. We're always going to be facing them. And whatever we magnify, we amplify. And the truth is, the storms want to be magnified. They want to be. They want to dishearten us. They want to steal our joy. They want to take away that, you know, the goodness of God in our lives. They want to make us forget about how good God has been. That maybe He's been faithful in the past, and then that storm comes in. It makes it feel like, God, where are you? And I think the storm is intentional in that way. That the enemy uses storms to dishearten us, and of course, the enemy uses storms to damage us. But more than anything else, I think the enemy wants to use storms to dictate our life. Because he's a liar. And he has a plan that is to kill, steal, and destroy. And one of his greatest weapons, I think, is the confusion and the hurt and the pain that come from the storms that we face. But we can magnify the Savior. You know, the second half of that verse, you know, it says, in this world you will have trouble. But I always love the second half. It says, but take heart. Jesus says, for I have overcome the world. We can be overcomers through Christ who strengthens us. And so I'm tired of giving the big storms and even the everyday storm center stage. And I want to say, let's be a people of God. You know, that we will be a people who will declare not how big the storm is, but how big our Savior is. Can we be a people that, you know, of God that does that? That instead of magnifying the storm, that we magnify our Savior, that everything that comes into our way, you know, we focus on Him. And we say as His people, Christ be magnified. Christ be magnified. And so this morning I want to give you four different ways that in the storm that maybe you're facing now or the storms that you will face, that you can magnify Jesus in that storm. And that you and I can literally walk out of here today with a different perspective about the things that we're facing. So the first is this. When you're going through a storm, you need to magnify His sovereignty. Listen, God knew before you were born, what was going to be happening during this season in your life. And we can look at verse 35. It says it this way. It says, that day when evening came, He said to the disciples, let us go over to the other side. Now check this out. The trip was Jesus' idea. And being the Son of God, God in flesh, certainly He knew that a storm was coming. It was Jesus' idea so that they could say, you know, so we can kind of say from that, we can kind of conclude that the disciples were in the storm not because they were out of the will of God. Not because they were out of the will of God, but they were in the storm because they were in the will of God, following Jesus' direction. So listen, you might be in a storm right now and you're saying, I wish I wasn't here. Listen, God knew you were going to be right where you are. He is sovereign. And you might say, well, Monty, where did the storm come from? Well, let me give you real quickly three possibilities of storm sources. The first one is this. It could be that there are a lot of storms that come from bad decisions. You may have had that experience, you know, in your life where you make a simple decision or a stupid decision, and boom, we've got some consequences to deal with. Another possibility is this. You might be experiencing a storm, as I said, from the enemy, the evil one, Satan, the prince of darkness, Lucifer, the one whose mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. And another source could be that you are experiencing storms simply because you and I live in a broken world, a world that has been marred by sin. And Jesus is the one who said, you know, in this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So are you in a storm? Are you in a storm this morning? God knew you were going to be in a storm. And you might be someplace you wish you weren't. And you might be taking, it might be, you know, God might be taking you someplace that He really wants you to go. Let's go to the other side. Jesus said, full knowing that there would be a storm. Look at verse 36. He says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. How many of you are boat people? You love boats. You have a boat. You've had boats, and you just love them. You like to be on them all the time. Not so much me. I don't love boats, right? It seems like every time I get on a boat, something, you know, all of a sudden, suddenly and severely a storm will come up or whatever when I get on a boat, or something will happen, a storm in which I create will come up on the boat, you know, whatever. And so I don't like boats. So don't be giving me a boat. I don't. Kim and I, several years ago, probably 1997, somewhere in there, 96, we were going on a mission trip that summer with the students, and so we had to go to this place and kind of check it out before we went there. We wanted to make sure it was safe. And so we were going to this place called Mount Hope. It's in the islands of Abaco, of the Abacos, and so they kind of made arrangements for us to go down and come across and visit. And so we went down to Fort Lauderdale and got on a cruise ship. It really was, you know, it was called a cruise ship, but this was like, you know, again, 1998, wasn't no Disney cruise. It was actually a 70s cruise liner, and they just used it to carry the locals back and forth to Freeport. That's really what all it was used for, and they kind of set us up for it when we got on it. It was old, and but it made it across. It takes about 3 hours, I guess, 2.5 hours to get across to Freeport. And of course, me and the boys got sick. We took our little boys with us. They were probably like, I don't know, 12 and 8 or something like that, 10 and 6. And so all three of us got sick. Of course, Kim don't get sick, right? She's partying on the boat, and she don't get sick, but not really. No partying on this boat. But we throw up everywhere. People are kind of embarrassed for us, going, we're just going right across there, you know. It's like, what are you guys doing? We get across, and they meet us there in Freeport, and they drive us down to the end of the island and just kind of put us off and say, okay, there'll be another boat to come by and pick you up here. And they just kind of ploop, plump us out there, and we're sitting there, and there's just a little bitty dock right there, and there's a bar over there, and it's crazy. There's fights going on, and we're sitting there with our little boys on our suitcases going, what in the world are we getting into? And so sure enough, in a few minutes, here comes this little boat puttering up to the dock, and it's a little boat. And we're going, is that, that's the one. And there's like 12 of us, you know, standing there ready to get on this boat. And so we're going, how are we going to get on the boat? You know, we can't figure that out. We got our boys. There's a mom that's like, you know, 10 months pregnant, getting on with us. And so we crowd in this little boat, right? And we get set down in this little boat. And the guy that's driving the boat says, now listen, we've had some bad weather. It comes up suddenly. You know, it might rain on us. The water gets really choppy, might come over the front, so here's a tarp. Here's a tarp. Put this tarp over you so you won't get wet. And Kim and I look at each other and go, what? Put a tarp over? You know, and sure enough, we get about halfway across from Freeport to Abaco, and it starts raining and flooding, and the water's coming over the edge, and we got a tarp over us. And we're looking at all those other 12 people, and the pregnant woman's going, oh, my goodness, oh, you know, and womb and womb. And I said, this is it. This is how we're going to die, right? I'm not going to see my boys grow up and get married and have children. No, we're going to die in the middle of a little putter boat, you know. Of course, God did a miracle and got us across, and, you know, all was good. All kind of little things happened on that trip, but I don't know. You know, storms happen like that sometimes, I guess, and suddenly and severely something comes up, right? I don't know if you've had that in your life, not necessarily a boat, but I kind of understood how the disciples were feeling, right? What? We're going to drown. We're going to die. I mean, come on. Suddenly and severely. Next time something like that happens to you, I mean, hopefully it won't, but chances are it will. You'll get a phone call, and on the other end, you'll hear some news, and everything changes. Just like that. You get a report from the doctor and everything changes. You say goodbye to someone that, you know, that you've been visiting, and you go on and you'll think you're going to see them again and you won't. And everything changes just like that. Listen, when that happens, remember that you are in a storm and He knows. He is sovereign God. He knew it was going to happen, and God is a good enough God to bring about good things in all things to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Magnify His sovereignty. He knows. Second, magnify His presence. He is with you. Never forget that. He is with you. Verse 38, it says, Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. Jesus is in the stern, and what was He doing? Say it with me. Say it out loud. He was sleeping. Yeah, Jesus was sleeping. He was sawing logs. He was asleep, and He wasn't waking up. And the disciples, they were freaking out, and Jesus wasn't, right? I mean, think about this. Do you realize that in those moments, God, you know, God never calls an emergency meeting. He doesn't wake up and he goes, quick, oh my goodness, quick, get me the other members of the Trinity. Get Jesus and the Holy Spirit in here, right? We didn't see this coming. What are we going to do? I don't know how to handle this. God never panics. God never panics. In the middle of the storm, just think about this. Though unseen, where was Jesus? Underneath the stern. Though unseen, He was there. You're in a storm. Maybe you're in a storm right now, perhaps. Though unseen, realize He is with you. He is with you. Let me explain it like this. Several years ago, I owned a John Deere dealership, some John Deere dealerships, John Deere franchise, and so I sold John Deere equipment. And one year, they had a contest, and they chose the top 150 dealers, and they invited the top 150 dealers of that year to come out and to just kind of celebrate that with them in Moline, Illinois, there at their headquarters. And so we were one of the top 150 dealers. And so we fly out there, and we get there, and, you know, we have this big program, and they do everything they can. I mean, just making us feel like we're the, you know, we're the men, right? We're the man, you know, top 150. And then we go out to this unbelievable restaurant. I mean, it was beautiful. They had rented the whole thing out for us. And we're sitting there, you know, and you know, they had waiters standing there, you know, kind of, I mean, it was like, you know, we had our suits and our boots on them, and we were dressed up. And we were sitting there, and I had ordered steak, and they brought my thing, and I got my steak, and, you know, and I started to cut my steak, and my fork slipped. And it hit one of the little Irish potatoes, I guess that's what they call a little Irish potato. It hit the Irish potato, and then, whew, just like a rocket. That thing shoo, went off my table, bam, hit the floor, and started rolling across the floor. And the president's table was just like right there, John Deere, and it's rolling to his table. I'm going, oh my goodness, what should I do? Should I get up and get it? Should I try to grab it? I'm so embarrassed, I cannot believe. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this waiter steps out of a curtain, reaches down, picks up the potato, steps back in. And I went, wow, that's amazing. It kind of made me want to throw another one out there just to see what would happen, right? Though unseen, in the middle of your storm. There is a God, there is one who is much greater. The Son of the living God, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, He is with you. He is with you. And I want you to be so encouraged by that. I want you to find hope and to find peace in that. Because we will have storms. But Jesus, if you're a follower of Christ, Jesus is in our boat. Now let me give you this warning. Just because Jesus is in the boat doesn't mean we won't get wet. Just because we live and follow Jesus doesn't mean we won't get affected by the circumstances of life. We get wet. Maybe even soaked, it feels like. You know, soaked, but not sunk. Drenched, but not drowned. Wet. But our heads above water. Because we know who is in our boat. Because of that, we are not going down. God is on our side no matter what kind of storm we face. No matter who caused the storm. I mean, don't ignore the reality. But rather pay attention to a greater reality. That Jesus is with us. He is with you. He's with you. Hebrews 13 says, He will never leave you or forsake you. Yes, you are in a storm. You are there. And He knew it would happen. Magnify His sovereignty. You are there, and He is with you. Magnify His presence. Third, magnify His plan. You are there for His purposes, for His plan. Because God is going to do something in you that He couldn't do any other way. I mean, just think about this. The disciples, they were about to face one of their greatest fear. And what was that fear? You know, we don't want to die, right? Scripture says in verse 38, the disciples woke Him and said to Him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Teacher, we don't want to die. And think about this. Think about the journey through the disciples' lives. I mean, just think about what happened. In a few moments, these guys, they're going to get to see the power of Jesus. Later on, they get to experience the character of Jesus. And then even beyond that, they get to experience the death of Jesus. And then they get to see Him after the resurrection of Jesus. And through all this, God did so much in them that the very guys who were horrified to die, 10 of them were willing to die later. Willing to die for the cause of Christ. I mean, not only would they face their greatest fear, but they would surrender willingly to death, saying, I would never deny the one who gave it all for me. The thing that had the biggest stronghold on them, they became free of. And I believe it's because God did more than just a miracle in calming the storm that night. He did a miracle right there in their hearts. And some of you can relate to what the disciples say. Teacher, don't you even care if we drown? I mean, we're in trouble here, and you're not helping God. And maybe there are those of you who have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, God, how hard would it be? You've done some pretty big things. All I'm asking for is this little thing, and you won't even do this? Where are you? Are you really here? Are you really able? And if you're really able, why don't you? If you could and you don't, then are you a good God? Do you still love me? Why are you so silent? Are you just a crutch that I've made up? God, if you could, why don't you? Listen, a storm is always a battle of faith. That's what's on the line here. And God is going, are you going to trust me when you can't see me? Are you going to trust me when you don't understand? Are you going to let me be God in your life? Listen, God has a plan. And I hope you know that today. God has a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, a plan to give you a hope and a future, to meet you where you are and carry you to the other side. So let's decide that no matter what storms we face, here's the revelation. We might not know God's plan, but here's what we do know. Jesus is in the boat, and if He is in the boat, we know He has a plan. And if He is in the boat, then we can have confidence and faith and trust that we're going to get through, we're going to get to the other side. To say, I'm going to let you be God in this situation. God, I don't understand it. I don't like it. I don't know. I don't see how we're going to get from here to there. But I'm making a decision. Your plan is better than my plan. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to live out Proverbs 3, God. Trust you with all my heart. Lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways, I'm going to submit to you, God. And allow you to make my paths straight. Because His plan, even in the middle of the storm, His plan is full of love and compassion for all of us. And maybe that's why James said this in this verse. And this verse has always bothered me, okay? It's just bothered me, but here's what James says in 1, 2, and 4. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Someone once said, in storms, we want God to do a removing job, but maybe He wants to do an improving job. We want Him to remove the storms, but maybe He wants to improve something in us that He couldn't do any other way. Magnify His plan, His purpose. And then finally, magnify His power. Verse 39 said, He got up, He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down. And it was completely calm. We get to magnify the power of God. We have a chance to magnify, to put the glass on, to put our attention on, our focus on the power of God. You know, the disciples are like, don't you care? We're falling apart, right? And Jesus gets up and He rebukes the wind and He says to the waves, you know, quiet, hush, be still. There are those of you that God is going to speak to your storm. He's going to heal you. He's going to heal your marriage. He's going to miraculously provide for you financially. He's going to answer your prayer. And He's going to say to your storm, be still. And it will. Others of you, your storm will continue to rage on. And He will say to your heart, be still. And it will. And there'll be a peace there. And both will be miracles. Maybe the one where you have peace and everything is breaking loose, that might even be a more impressive one. To be still and know that He is God, no matter what happens. That He says, I will love you. Right? And you can say back to Him, God, I will love you. I will worship you. I will praise you. And He says, peace, be still. And in this case, the wind died down and it was completely calm. And Jesus is saying, hey, everybody, if I have the power to still this storm, I have the power to move in your situation. Trust me. Trust me. Watch what I do. Trust me and trust my word. Magnify His power. God has the power to help you in and through every circumstance. And I think the most amazing part of this story is the disciples' reaction to Jesus' power. Look at verse 40. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And then it says this, "They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" The Greek literally says that there that we're terrified. They feared with great fear. I mean, they just thought they were afraid before, right? I mean, they were afraid of the storm, but they were terrified of Jesus. I mean, the fear of the storm was nothing compared with the fear that they had when they realized who Jesus really was and who was with them in the boat. I mean, it's one thing to be in the boat with someone that you believe was sent from God to be a great teacher and a spiritual leader. But it's quite another thing to be confined in a small space with the one whom you suddenly realize is the Lord of the universe. In that moment, I can just imagine your knees give away and you begin to tremble. You find it difficult to breathe. Your insides are shaking and you cannot stop it, right? And throughout the Gospels, the disciples, as well as others, keep coming to this new understanding of who Jesus is. And it's always in the context of some crisis. And it's interesting to me that we can sit in church week after week after week, and we can sit in the midst of miracles of God, that we can just experience that, right? And I'll just go ahead and say this. What has happened here at The Rock over the 18 years in the way that God has used this body of believers to pour into each other's lives, to watch students grow up and to go and to do even greater things for Jesus, the way that He's used us to come alongside people and be there in those crisis moments of life and in the victories of life is nothing short of a miracle. It's nothing short of a miracle. And what's happening today and in this generation, you just begin to look around and see how God is working in this generation that's coming up right now is nothing short of a miracle. I mean, hundreds of millions of YouVersion apps, where we have our Bible on our phone with us, 24/7, hundreds of millions of those apps being downloaded. Thousands of students going to Passion. Revivals on college campuses, going on all throughout our country. And you can see the miracles and partake in the miracles. And you can know about the miracles of God, but not have yet met the God of miracles. Jesus is saying, it's not enough that you know about my works and about my acts. You've got to know me. You've got to know me. And I want to know, he says, if you know me. And so he uses the storms of life to reveal even more of himself to us. They knew the Jesus that healed and did miracles, but they hadn't met the Jesus whose voice the wind and the waves even obeyed. Get to know Him in the midst of the storm. You've known the miracles of God. You've seen Him at work in other people's lives. But maybe you have never known Him. Let's not be a church that knows about the miracles of God. But let's be a people that is intimately acquainted with the God of miracles. It's in those crisis moments that we can really understand who Jesus is. And if you place your complete faith and trust in Jesus, you will have a greater understanding of Him, a deeper relationship with Him, a new love for Him when the storm is over. You will see His power over darkness, and you'll see the depth of His love for you. Jesus is telling us, live by faith, not by fear. Trust me. Come on. Let's not magnify the storm. Let's magnify our Savior. And if He saved us from the storm of sin and death through His death, burial, and resurrection, how could we doubt for a moment that He can rescue us right where we are right now? He is a good God. We're talking about Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the one that came. And I know that the waves can get big, and I know the wind can be blowing, but may we remember this morning, He is in the boat. He's got a plan. His power is just as strong today. The same power that raised Him from the dead lives in us and can speak to our storm and say, "Be still." He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the Savior who loves us. Come on. Let's be a people where Christ be magnified in our lives. Pray with me, please. As we pray this morning, maybe there's some of you that would say, you know what, Monty, I'm in the middle of a difficult time and the storm is on. And you might just say, Monty, would you pray for me? I'm hurting and I just need prayer today. So if that's you this morning, if you just need prayer in the time and in the middle of a storm that you're going through, would you just lift your hand right now? Nobody looking around. You just say, Monty, I'm in a storm. I just need your prayer. I just need prayer. Yeah. God, I humbly come to you right now. And I thank you that we are together as family, your family. And God, as the body of Christ, help us to care for each other right now, to reach out and just to love those around us. God, even before we leave the building that we are in, by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, I pray for miracles today. Because I know you are a God that is able and that you are willing. And God, I thank you ahead of time in many lives represented here that you're going to do miracles. And God, when you do, we're going to tell everybody about it and tell them that it was you. We're going to worship you. And we're going to give you all the honor. Because we know, God, you do those for our benefit and for your glory. And so, God, do your miracle work in our lives today. And God, I pray for more than just the outward kind, where you can see the storm calmed. I pray also for the inward kind. I pray for the miracles that go beyond our human ability to understand. God, I pray that you would bring peace to the outward storms. And that you would bring peace to the inward storms. God, your peace. A peace that goes beyond all of our understanding. One that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And God, I pray that you will comfort those who mourn, encourage those who are down, strengthen those who are weak, give hope to those who are hopeless, bring healing to those who are broken. God, we don't have anywhere to turn but to you, and we thank you that you are the only one worthy, the only one that can help. So God, we wholly surrender to you, trusting you, trusting your sovereignty, trusting your presence, and believing in your plan, and holding on to your power. Do your miracle work in us, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.